Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. There are pew Bibles around you this morning if you would like to look it up, or some of you, you can look it up on your phone and read along. I will ask you to stand for the reading of the Gospel. May the Word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments that and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest for God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood. To enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make many ready, a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Talk about a time of preparation and surprise. And it just goes to show that you can't prepare for everything. Zechariah was pretty surprised when he went in. He had done this many times, going into the Holy of Holies. And with every time, you know, there may have been nerves, but nothing like this had ever happened to him before. In fact, he was probably the type of guy that did his job day in and day out. Him and his wife doing what they needed to do together with no surprises. In fact, they had waited for the surprise for a long time, and the surprise never came. And they just moved on. Until one day he goes into the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. He's figuring it's another normal day, if there is a normal day in the Holy of Holies. But that wasn't a normal day. He was met there by an angel who tells him that he will have a son. Surprise! Can't prepare for everything. But he doesn't. He's like, I must be seeing things. I must be seeing visions that aren't real. How can I meet my wife and I have a baby at this time? And because he questions, the angel silences him for some reason. There's something about being still in God and being silent. And Zechariah was forced into silence in order to prepare. In order to be ready for what was coming. We live in a world that is very busy, very rambunctious, very noisy, constantly communicating something to us. We're constantly listening to something. We're constantly reading billboards. We're listening to our friends, what they like and what they dislike, and our families. When we watch television, there's packed full of ads, and the advertisers have now learned that you are skipping those because you now can record your television and fast forward through them. So now they're paying big bucks to put their ads into the shows that you watch. So if you're watching American Idol, the judges are drinking out of a certain kind of cup. Don't really know what's in those cups, but there's a label on the cup. Same thing with The Voice. It's interesting, I can't remember what I was watching the other day, but I remember that they talked about Verizon. All right, so they know, they've got this figured out. So there's always someone communicating to you about what you need in order to be happy. Not only are the advertisers speaking to you, but you have family relations. It is 'tis the season to let you know what they want. My children have already, I am so bombarded with a list of Nerf guns, a list of American Doll stuff. My son, there isn't a conversation that we have that there isn't a mention of a hoverboard. And I'm thinking, a hoverboard? So he finally showed me a picture. That's not a hoverboard. It has wheels on it. I've seen Back to the Future. I know what a hoverboard is. So we're in this noisy season that the world, that our culture calls the Christmas season. But the church, in its subtle, quiet way, is going to tell you that it is the season of Advent. And you're going to come to church, and you've listened to Christmas songs all week long. I think they may have started before Thanksgiving this year, especially in the retail stores, because they want to put you in the mood. And really, they don't understand that they're just stressing you out. That we're not singing Christmas songs yet, because we're waiting. We're waiting. And Advent is actually a time of being still and preparing for what is to come. And to prepare the best you can, because you fully, really cannot grasp what is coming. The priest, Zechariah, could not quite comprehend what was coming. And even if he walked out of the Holy of Holies with his voice, I don't think that he could actually even speak fully about what was coming. God did him a very big favor and said, Zechariah, right now, you're going to be still and you're going to know. The scripture tells us that after his obligations, his rotation at the temple are done, he goes home in silence. And it is then that Elizabeth is able to conceive. Now, men, I want you to take note that it is when he comes home in silence that she's able to conceive. Some of you got that, I'm glad. And it comes, I'm sure it comes as a big surprise, because they've went years in a marriage, years hoping and praying. And for a woman at that time, it was a big deal, because her whole reputation was wrapped up in being able to provide children for her husband, specifically male heirs. And she wasn't able to provide any. And so when the scripture ends here, the story, she says, now I've found my worth. Now I've found my redemption. She says, what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away my disgrace. That's how wrapped up she is in this pregnancy. And the hope that she has in this child. She doesn't quite understand that it's not just about this child pointing towards her actual redemption to Jesus, to what is to come, but she's already feeling it before the baby ever gets there. And through this preparation within herself, she's got to get there. And she really doesn't have the words, really, to describe what's happening to her at this time. Preparation is like that. And preparation in of itself can be quite distracting, because we get overboard with it. I remember preparing for my wedding, and a year out working so hard towards that one day, focusing so hard on that one day, not really understanding what was going to happen the day after my wedding, because I was so focused on the perfection of that day. I remember preparing for my firstborn child, painting the walls of the nursery, getting the bedding together, the showers, and collecting all the stuff and putting it in his little room. Preparing for that day that he was coming, my husband and I went to the classes at the hospital to learn what was going to happen. Preparing for that day, but I didn't really feel that I was ever really prepared for the day after when he got there. Sometimes it's like that. You prepare and you prepare for that day, but you don't quite understand what's going to happen the day after. I think sometimes Advent is like that. We get so hyped up in the preparation for Christmas that we lose track of what we're supposed to be focusing on. It's the day after. It's not the day of, it's the day after. All the days that come after. We get focused on putting up our tree, and gosh, I have some nightmare stories about that. the things that we put ourselves through. I remember one year, it seems like I was pregnant this year. And it was an older tree, you know, the kind where you put it on one branch at a time. I got all the branches on, and it felt like it was kind of wobbly, but I thought, you know what? It's the only tree we have. So I put the lights on it, and by golly, I got all those lights on, and it just fell right over. The stand, the little plastic stand, had just fallen right off. It had gone too weak. Do you know how frustrating that was? Did I feel like being in the season of Advent, much less Christmas at that moment? You see, we get so hyped up in these visuals, these things that are outside of us that reflect the spirit of Christmas, that it steals away our sense of Advent, our sense of wondering, our sense of waiting, our sense of being still and knowing that God is with us and preparing our hearts for the very presence of Emmanuel. Since we've moved here, we've had guests in and out of our home, and this Thanksgiving has been quite hectic because we've had my family come in and out. This is my mom and my stepdad right here. And my in-laws have been in and out of the home as well, preparing for Thanksgiving and cooking and all this and the preparation. But in the midst of that, I was learning something new. I was learning something about the community Thanksgiving meal and trying my best to figure out, how am I fitting this new piece into what we do? Because we're already in a new location. We're going to be the guest, the house where everybody's coming to for the first time, so that was new to us. And then we have this piece that's outside of our home that we need to figure out. So how do I plan and prepare for all of this to fit in? And it was a bit hectic. Had fun Wednesday going with Ethan to sort cans and canned goods that were going to be provided for those who can't get out of their homes as often anymore. And talk about organized chaos. If you ever want to know what that looks like, just wait for next year. I'll gladly bring you. Because that's what it is. It's organized chaos. And that night, I went and there was this awesome group carving and deboning turkeys, getting ready. And then knowing all the things, I couldn't make it on Thanksgiving Day back up there, but knowing and seeing the pictures and hearing stories of what went on and all the preparation that went on ahead of time to make that meal happen for a lot of people. A lot of people coming together for a whole nother part of a lot of people. So this preparation ahead of time that goes on, you know, we lose focus and we get focused just on that day and we forget about what comes next after that day. But there's so much that goes on. But when it comes to Advent, you know, we get caught up in putting the lights on our house and the tree up and getting ready for guests and making sure the house looks ready for the season. That there's this preparation going on in the background that you can't sense or feel unless you stop. That God is preparing something bigger and greater for you. That God's been preparing from generation to generation to generation from the very beginning. Moving in the midst of God's people all along. And we get too busy to where we're numb to it because we get so worried whether we have enough presents under the tree or the next party we need to go to make sure we can get everything in our calendar. That when we read the scripture, I see God moving. All this preparation that God is doing to get to you and to me, and to all the people all over the world. You see, it's not just about the preparation that you're doing. Advent is about the preparation that God is doing in order to be among us. And God's done a lot of preparation. From the very beginning, a beginning that we can't even comprehend, God's been preparing to know each and every one of us. So as we think about the Advent season, and we think about all the milestones in our life and the preparations that went into them, because I think about the preparations that went, that I did for my own milestones, whether it was my wedding or my child's birth. But think about all the preparation that went on ahead of time that I don't even know about, that I can't even comprehend. I don't know who made my wedding gown. I don't even know where it came from or who beaded it or who put on the lace. But somebody prepared that wedding dress. I may not have been in that person's mind, but they made it for somebody. The food we served at our wedding reception, it came from somewhere, from some farmer's hand, from some company. They may not have known where it was going or what it was for, but they prepared it. I think about all the work that I know of and that I don't know of, that my family came together to help me prepare for it. I think about the birth of my son and these nurses and the doctor that helped me deliver my child and all the preparation that they went to help me deliver that baby. All the preparation that goes into that we don't even know. That's God in the background. That's God preparing to know you. So as we prepare for this Advent season, it's ever so very important that you find that time to be still and know. Do not let another Christmas get hijacked by the commercialism of the season. Be still and know that God is moving in your midst. There are several ways that you can do this. Find time to read your scriptures. There's also a devotional available. We still have some. If you have not picked it up, it's actually really good. It's only $2. It's really, really nice, and it will make a good gift, but it is very, very good, and it pretty much tracks what we're doing together here on Sunday morning. So I highly encourage you to pick one up. Meditate and notice what God is doing all around you. Notice the people around you. So here's your homework. Here's your homework. During the hustle and bustle, when you look at your calendars, I actually want you to open your calendars and schedule it. I want you to be a bit more adamant in carving out your time for God this season. Because if you don't set your priorities, someone else will set them for you. You decide how much time every single day and when that time will be. And you guard it. You do not let anyone else encroach upon that time. If you feel like you need to get up earlier, then get up earlier. If you feel like you need to go into another room to carve out that time during the day, then do that. Get away from the television, get away from the radio, get away from your phone, get away from your computer, and get away from the rest of the world. And be still and know that God is in the midst of it all. And God is with you. And God has great things in store for you that you cannot even prepare yourself for. Only God can prepare those things for you. Only God can prepare your heart for you. We prepare our homes, we prepare our tables, we get ready for company. But the most important thing that you can do in the next 4 weeks is prepare your heart for what God is going to do. And you have to let God do it, and you have to find time for that. And you've got to guard it. You've got to put it on your calendar. That's your homework this week. To set that time for the next 4 weeks. So when you open your calendar, now I'm not just saying for this week every day. I'm saying for the next 4 weeks. To set that time to get you through Christmas. So that you can be truly focused on the Christ child, on the Emmanuel, the Savior of the world, the living, resurrected Christ that is alive and well in you, in this world, that is doing great, awesome, amazing things all around us. Are you ready? Are you ready to sit and wait? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Merciful God, you are good and glorious. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our souls, all that we are, to be able to be drawn closer to you in this season, that we are truly prepared for your coming. For we declare that Christ has come, Christ has come, and Christ will come again. In Jesus' name, amen.